Cleveland, Tennessee. Chris and I just made a great sacrifice to come down here to see you all this weekend. We left on Thursday evening, 6 inches of snow. So it was a tremendous sacrifice to come south and to get out of that snow. But we are glad to be here. What a blessing. What an honor to be a part of the 100-year anniversary and celebration here at Big Spring Baptist Church. It almost makes me wish I was 120 years old so I could have enjoyed all of that. Almost, not quite. Is Mrs. Ruth Beck still here? Mrs. Ruth, our old, yes, she's still here. Mrs. Ruth, it's good to see you. She is our oldest. She's Big Spring Baptist Church oldest living member, and she's 97 years old. And so she was born 3 years after Big Spring Baptist Church. And if my memory is correct, I don't remember which day, but I believe it's in March. Her birthday is in March, so 3 years later she was born. And that's just amazing to me. 100 years of church in Cleveland, Tennessee. And just so many things that God did for me, for my family, while we were here and enjoyed the blessings of God. And as I've listened this weekend to the amazing things, the mighty things that God has done, it's just overwhelming. I'm so glad I got to come this weekend and hear it. I'd like to tell a little story to illustrate something. And I haven't asked my wife if this is okay, but I hope it is. But my wife is also a nurse, and she's worked for several different doctors over the years, and doctors are like the rest of us. Sometimes they enjoy what they do, and sometimes you wonder. But she worked for a tremendous doctor here in Cleveland, Tennessee, when we lived here. And she went back to visit that office on Friday, and that doctor was looking at some x-rays of some surgery that he had done. He's a general surgeon. And as he saw how that helped that individual, that patient, and how that was healing properly, and surgery had accomplished what it needed to accomplish, he looked at that x-ray and he said, "That is what does it for me." Now, I look around here and I see some folks that I know, and I see some that I don't know, and I see some that I've heard your names over the years, and I got to meet you this weekend. But when I look out and see the folks, many of the folks that were here when I came as pastor, and when I see many of the folks that came to Big Spring, either were baptized or added to the church at Big Spring Baptist Church, let me say, that does it for me. It does it for me. What a blessing. And so many things that I could say, so many stories I could tell you in that short 5 years that I was here as pastor at Big Spring. But let me just tell you about my youngest grandson, Deacon. I talk about him an awful lot and use him as illustrations. But Deacon moved to Cleveland, Tennessee, literally on his first birthday. And it was on a Saturday. And so on Sunday, he was in church at Big Spring Baptist Church. And he had learned to walk by then. He was still in diapers. But we had an outdoor service that evening, that Sunday evening, and I was preaching. And of course, he calls me G-Dad. In fact, all of my four grandsons call me G-Dad, and G-Mom started that. She didn't want to be called Granny. But so I said, I don't want to be called Grandpa either, so call me G-Dad. But he came toddling up to me while I was preaching, and I picked him up, and I just kept on going. But those are kind of the memories. And how Big Spring Baptist Church accepted me, how you've accepted my family, how you accepted Faith, his mother, Deacon's mother, and Deacon growing up here. He grew for 5 years here at Big Spring. He's going to be seven next month. But you introduced him to Jesus. I am so grateful for that. In Sunday school, in children's church, in vacation Bible school, he learned about Jesus. And I'm so very grateful. And that's one of the things that has blessed me, how Big Spring loves children. And you continue to do that with your ministries. And I know God will bless that. One of the things that happened to me as your pastor when I was here, when I would attend some meetings in the community and people would find out that I was pastor at Big Spring Baptist Church, they would come up and say, well, I was saved at Big Spring, or I attended Big Spring as a child, or just so many good things that happened. And what a blessing that was to experience that. And I experienced spiritual blessings in many other different ways. I was spiritually encouraged here over and over and over again. When we prayed together, when we prayed for each other, when we prayed for families like the Warrens, when we prayed for families in our community, when we prayed, that was a spiritual encouragement to me. When we would walk these streets together, in fact, I saw a t-shirt here this morning that I had wished I'd brought mine, Big Spring Baptist Church. We bought those t-shirts when we did GPS, and we prayer walked the community. And that was spiritually encouraging to me. And not only did we prayer walk, but prior to that, we had walked the community and knocked on doors, and we shared Christ together, the gospel, and we led souls, precious souls, to Jesus Christ. Spiritually encouraging to me in so many, many ways. As we prayer walked this building, these grounds, spiritual encouragement was brought to my heart. We experienced God here at Big Spring in those 5 years. And the Holy Spirit was here 100 years ago, and he's still here. And he still has work to do here at Big Spring Baptist Church. I grew spiritually here. We studied the Bible together. We studied the purpose-driven life. Rick Warren wrote that, and we learned that God has a purpose for every single individual. Now, some people don't know that, and we need to let them know and tell them about the fact that God has a purpose for every human being on the face of the earth. And we learned that he has a purpose for us. We studied experiencing God, that God is always at work, and it's obvious that he is always at work, and we see the results of that around us. And I think of the scripture, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great crowd of witnesses, let us lay aside everything that entangles us, every sin that encumbers, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. You know, we're on a high right now. We're on the mountaintop. I am. I think you are too, by the smiles on your faces and the things that we've experienced this weekend. And one of the characteristics of successful people, one of the characteristics of a successful church, is that it stays with it. This church stays with it. You never quit. You kept on keeping on. But there are times during that 100 years when it was hard to keep going. But you did. And that made you successful as a church. And as individuals, we face that same kind of thing. But endurance, persistence, diligence, determination, perseverance, It's the ability to stick to something that makes us successful in our race that we are running with the Lord Jesus Christ and that race that he has set before us. Vince Lombardi once said this, "Press on because nothing can take the place of persistence." And when you look at successful people, when you look at successful churches, you discover that they're really just ordinary people with extraordinary determination. They simply don't know how to quit. Like the old statement that we heard in school when we were children, quitters never win and winners never quit. In a race, there's always a large crowd when you begin that race. But as the race goes on, the crowd begins to thin. You know, the crowd has thinned at Big Spring over the years. And there are several different reasons, as our good brother talked about earlier. Some of those great crowd of witnesses that are looking down right now. Some have left Big Spring to go on as missionaries. You know, Big Spring, you train them up. That's one of the things that a church needs to do, is to train them up and then send them out. And you've accomplished that. And so really a true church, a New Testament church, at times does need to thin out for that purpose, so that others go out and serve the Lord because they've been trained at Big Spring. But the race goes on, that crowd thins out. And it's not so important how you start the race of life. But what really counts is how you finish. And I want to finish the race well. Now, I'll just be honest. I didn't want to leave Big Spring. But God led us back to Virginia. And God wanted us there. And he's underscored that. And he's shown us that that was what he wanted us to do over and over and over many, many different times. But when I left here, Lord, help me to finish well. I want to finish the race well. And I want you to finish that race well. And so I want to ask you, if you have your Bibles, turn in your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And we're going to look at some verses there. The Apostle Paul, what a tremendous example of a Christian man, a follower of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, in these verses, I see seven secrets to endurance. The Apostle Paul finished the race well. Wouldn't you agree? He finished the race well. Verses 8 and 9. He said, "We are pressed on every side by troubles, but not crushed and broken. We are perplexed because we don't know why things happen as they do, but we don't give up and quit. We are hunted down, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again and keep going." There are four terms that Paul uses in those two verses that describe the circumstances. Paul said, "We are pressed on every side by troubles, but we are not crushed and broken." Paul says, "I get pressure from every single direction." And it's like a quarterback on Sunday afternoon or Saturday afternoon. The quarterback is under a blitz and they're coming at every direction. "Everybody's coming at me," Paul says, "but I'm not crushed." And then he says, "We are perplexed because we don't know why things happen as they do, but we don't give up and quit. I don't know why it's happening, but I keep on going, even though I don't understand the things that are going on around me." Perplexed, he says. That word there literally means stretched to the limit. It's like taking a rubber band and just stretching it and just to its limit right before it breaks. That's the word that is used there. He says, "I'm stretched to the limit, but I don't snap." And then he says, "We are hunted down." That is, we are persecuted. We are hounded and hunted, but God never abandons us. We get knocked down, but we get up again and we keep going. It's like a boxer. I get knocked down seven times, The Bible says that a righteous man may fall seven times, but he gets up seven times. And Paul says we get up. And Paul's lifestyle shows great resiliency. You know, these things, these four terms, it's enough to make anybody want to quit. Yet he says, I don't give up. And Paul says, sometimes I've been in circumstances that are absolutely hopeless, and the situation was impossible. What did he do in those hopeless and impossible situations? He said, I just simply kept on going. What was the secret? What motivated the Apostle Paul to keep going? In this passage, we have an autobiography of Paul, and he gives us seven secrets of staying power. So if you want to last in life, if you want to last in the years that God has given you here left at Big Spring Baptist Church, you individually, you can see these seven secrets that God gives us through the Apostle Paul. And even though we are on a mountaintop as a church today, there may be some of you here this morning who are discouraged. Maybe you're discouraged in your family life. You could be discouraged in your marriage. You could be discouraged about your children. You could be discouraged about schoolwork or whatever it may be. You could even be discouraged about when all of the people leave that have been here this weekend, and it's down to the numbers that you had before. You may get discouraged. What are the secrets? First of all, I see in verse 1, the Apostle Paul was able to remember the proof of God's love. That's what we need to do. Never forget the proof of God's love. Verse 1, it is God himself in his mercy who has given us this wonderful work of telling his good news to others, and so we never give up. Mercy. What a tremendous word. We heard that song sung, I think it was last night. Mercy. Paul said that God has mercy for me. He loves me. How does that help me to keep going? It helps me to keep going because it means that when I'm going through tough times, I know that God sees everything that I'm going through, and he cares, and he understands, and he's going through it with me. And he has even promised to help me through that tough time if I will ask him. That is the mercy of God. So I'm able to endure because he is committed to enduring with me. And so I remember the proof of the love of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10 says, by the grace of God, I am what I am. You know, there are so many wonderful benefits of grace, but just two that I want to mention today. The first benefit of grace that I want to mention is I don't have to prove. Grace means that I don't have to prove my own worth because I've already been shown the worth that I have through the cross of the Lord Jesus. He died for me there. That makes me valuable. And so what happens is if I don't understand grace is I try to prove it by working. And I have to show my parents, and I have to show my wife, and I have to show my siblings, and I have to show everybody by how hard I work, how worthy I am. But grace says I am already worthy because of what Christ has done for me on the cross. That's the first benefit I want to mention. The second benefit about grace is that grace gives you the power to start over when you fail. It gives you the power to start over when you fall down in life. You sin in life. We will sin, Christians sin, and we stumble and we fall. Grace gives you the ability to get up and start over again. Now that's what endurance, that is what persistence is all about. The second thing that I see in this passage, the second secret that Paul had to endurance was not only to remember the proof of the love of God, but also to be open and honest. To be open and honest. Verse 2, he says, we refuse to wear masks and play games. We don't maneuver and manipulate behind the scenes, and we don't twist God's word to suit ourselves. Rather, we keep everything we do and say out in the open, and the whole truth is on display so that those who want to can see and judge for themselves in the presence of God. Paul said, I'm transparent. I don't have anything to hide. I don't deceive anybody. I don't distort the word of God. I'm honest about it, and I'm upfront about it. I'm a person of integrity. Here's one of the secrets, and if you want to last in the ministry, if you want to last as a Christian, you need to have integrity. How many national ministries have been destroyed because of the lack of integrity, even local ministries? We all know ministries like that. Paul said that is a secret to endurance. It is a secret to persistence. And he says, I'm open and I'm honest because guilt saps my strength. It robs me of energy. And in order to last, in order to make it in life, I've got to say, what you see is what you get. And I'm not going to hide behind anything. And so the Apostle Paul says, be open and honest. There's a third thing. He says, when you're in the ministry, when you're serving the Lord, when you're serving Him in church, when nobody else will help you, do it anyway. Why? For Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake. In order to have staying power, I must do it for Jesus. And the question is, why do you do what you do? You need to answer that question, because the why often determines the how long. And a lot of people do what they do because of ego. Ego will get you a long way in this world, but it wears out real quick. It doesn't last. And if you're going to last, you've got to have more of a motivation for what you do in life than simply your ego. What was Paul's motivation? I want to know. In verse 5, he says, for we do not preach ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, for Jesus' sake, for Jesus' sake. He says that same phrase in verse 11, for Jesus' sake. If you ask the Apostle Paul, why do you do what you do? In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he said, 5 times I received from the Jews 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was stoned and I was left for dead. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a day and a night in the open sea. I've been in constant danger, without food and without sleep, and I was thirsty and I was hungry. I did not have food and I was cold. And besides this, I faced the daily pressures of concern for all the churches. And he says, it's been a tough life. But why did he travel everywhere that he traveled? He said, I did it for Jesus. I did it for his sake. Why did you put up with that cold and suffering, Paul? I did it for Jesus. I did it for him. Paul never gave up because Jesus never gave up on him. And Jesus doesn't want us to give up because he will never, ever give up on us. The Bible says that if you give a cup of cold water in Jesus' name, you've done it for him. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23 says, whatever you do, do it heartily, as unto the Lord and not as unto man. You know, so many people work just existing, drawing their breath, drawing their pay, and it means nothing to them. But the Bible says if you will do it for Jesus, do your work, do your job like you're working for Jesus, you'll get joy out of it. What a difference. You can deliver automobile parts with joy in your heart because you're doing it for Jesus. You can wash dishes with joy in your heart because you're doing it for Jesus. You can do housework because you're doing it for Jesus. Do your homework because you're doing it for Jesus. That is the motivation that will endure. Why do you do what you do, Paul? He said, I do it for Jesus' sake. I have a motivation beyond myself. And if I'm going to have staying power, I'll remember the proof of God's love for me. And I'm open and honest, and I do it for Jesus. But number four, he says, I admit that I'm human. I admit that I have limitations. Verse 7, if you only look at us, you might well miss the brightness. Because we carry this precious message around in the unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives. That is to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us. Do you ever feel like an unadorned clay pot? I do. But what is Paul talking about? He's talking about our frail bodies. Paul says, I've got the greatest message in the world. Sometimes my body just doesn't feel like it. It's an ordinary package that I have the great message in. My body's a clay pot. It has weaknesses. It may even get broken and cracked at times because clay pots are fragile and they break easily if they're not handled right and they're not immune to pressure. So what is the way that I can learn to pace my life, pace myself in the Christian life, in Christian work? How can I do that? Well, recognize that I can't do it all in one day. Rome wasn't built in a day. That's what my mother used to tell me anyway. But life is a long race. It's a number of short races with rests in between. Learn to pace yourself. Don't try to do it all at once. We have limitations as human beings. None of us can give 100% 100% of the time. We're just not built that way. Each of us are made differently. Everybody in life is either a turtle or a racehorse or somewhere in between. But you need to know what you are. God created you that way. Adjust your schedule to that. We're all different. So don't try to copy anyone else. Paul says, don't deny your weakness. Accept it. Because God's power is shown through that weakness. God has given me a verse to help me understand what he's talking about when he talks about endurance. And it is a verse from Exodus. Actually, two verses. Exodus chapter 23, verses 29 and 30. God said to Joshua, right before the Israelites and Joshua were going to go into the promised land and take the promised land, he said, when you come to the promised land, I'm not going to give it to you all at once, but I'm going to drive out the giants little by little so you can handle it. God was saying that if I drove them all out at once, it'd be too much territory for you to occupy at once. Weeds would grow and you wouldn't be able to handle it. So I'm going to drive them out little by little. That is called pacing growth. You learn to pace yourself and God takes you so far and then you grow. And that's what Paul's secret was. He learned to pace himself. Then there's a fifth thing in these verses that we see from Paul. And that is to let your love for God and other people be your motivation. Let your love for God and your love for other people be your motivation. Verse 15, all this is for your benefit. So the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. For your benefit, Paul says. Paul says, the reason I keep on is because I know what I'm doing is helping others. You know, if you don't love people, you'll never last. The Bible says, if I have not love, I am as a sounding brass and tinkling cymbal. And the scriptures say, love endures all things. And if you stop loving, you'll give up. If you stop loving in your marriage, you'll give up. If you stop loving as a parent, you'll give up. When you stop loving, you stop trying. Because love is a motivating factor in life. And Paul says the love of Christ compels us. And I think this verse applies to us. And he says, we're doing this for your benefit. I'm doing this to reach people for Jesus. We know that people need the Lord. And as long as there's somebody who doesn't know Jesus, Big Spring Baptist Church, you need to reach out. And every other church in Bradley County and every other church around the world. As long as there is one person that is on their way to hell, we need to keep on keeping on and love that person to Jesus. And if you want energy to keep going, fill your life with love. Because the more loving you are, the more energy you will have to keep going. The sixth thing that I see here is in verse 16, and that is we need to get a spiritual tune-up every single day. Your car needs a tune-up every so often, but you need one every day spiritually. Verse 16, this is the reason why we never lose heart. The outward man does indeed suffer wear and tear, but every day, underscore that in your mind, every day the inward man receives fresh strength. It's a fact. We're all wasting away outwardly. Wrinkles and bags under my eyes and gray hair. It's obvious. How do you know when you're growing old? You know you're growing old when you know all the answers, but nobody asks you the questions. You know you're growing old when you look forward to a dull evening. You know you're growing old after painting the town red. You have to take a long rest before applying the second coat. You know you're growing old when your back goes out before you do. And you know you're growing old when you sink your teeth into a steak and they stay there. The point of that is this. We are all, no matter how much we fight it, we're wasting away on the outside. You nor I can stop that aging process. But Paul says you can stay fresh on the inside, spiritually, in your soul. Though outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we're being renewed day by day. Paul knew how to renew himself daily, and he did it. He recharged himself. And if you're going to make it, you've got to learn how to recharge yourself, how to renew yourself, how to cultivate internal renewal. Now, my question to you is, how do you renew daily? I know how I renew daily. I pray daily. That renews me. I read the Word of God daily. That renews me. I sing real, real loud when I'm by myself. But I got to sing loud this morning. That renews me. But it also renews me when I come on Sundays and I see people singing. How renewing that was to sing. I was looking at the choir and I did sneak a peek at you too. And you were singing too. That renews me. Sing the songs. It will renew you. If you're discouraged, let me give you a prescription. Go to church and sing all the songs with the congregation. I don't care how bad you sing, sing them all, every word. It renews you. And you need to know what renews you daily. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, run and not be weary, walk and not faint. The Bible says in Psalm 119:50, God, your promises renew me. Choose a promise from the Word of God and claim that promise and let it renew your soul. That was Paul's secret. And then the seventh secret in this passage of Scripture. Don't forget where you're going. There's a taste of heaven here this weekend, but it's nothing compared to what we are going to experience when we get there. Paul's last secret deals with how to handle that problem of the problems of life. And in verse 17 and 18, he says, these hard times are small potatoes compared to the coming good times, the lavish celebration prepared for us. There's far more here than meets the eye. The things we see now are here today, gone tomorrow, but the things we can't see will last forever. You cannot develop endurance and persistence in your life without problems in your life. There's no such thing as persistence without problems. If you don't have problems, you don't need persistence. You don't need endurance. And the way you develop persistence is in problems. James 1:12, problems produce persistence. Romans 5, verses 3 through 8, problems produce persistence. Problems are going to come. It's inevitable. They're a part of life. Jesus said, in this world you will have tribulation. Not you might have it, you will have tribulation. Life is tough. It's a struggle. But the problem with problems is not the problem. The problem with problems is that they tend to cloud our vision, the way we look at things. We lose sight of our goal when we go through deep problems. We lose sight of our purpose that God has given us and the dream that we have for God. And we get our eyes on the problem and we forget the whole ball game. We forget the overall picture. Can you believe that Paul says these light and momentary afflictions? Ooh, beaten 5 times, shipwrecked, imprisoned, sick, thrown out of city, stoned. Then he says, those are just light and momentary troubles. What an understatement. How could he say that? It's a matter of how you look at it. It's a matter of perspective. Paul's saying that the key to persistence is perspective. He says, have a big view. Have an eternal view. He says, look at the eternal glory. We fix our eyes not on what is seen, but is what is unseen. But Paul mentions the most powerful form of motivation here. Psychologists tell us that there's external motivation and there's internal motivation, and the most powerful of those is internal motivation. But Paul talks here about the most powerful motivation, and that is eternal motivation. Paul says, you want to know how I have staying power, how I'm able to be hard-pressed but not crushed, perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not abandoned, struck down but not struck out. This is his secret. I remember the proof of the love of God for me. I'm open and honest. I do everything for Jesus, and I admit it, I'm human. I love God, and I love other people, and I do a spiritual tune-up every day, and I keep my eye on where I am going. And he says, when you do these 7 things, you too will never quit. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9. So let's not allow ourselves to get fatigued doing good. At the right time, we will harvest a good crop if we don't give up or quit. Character comes by not quitting. And Big Spring Baptist Church has built strong character over 100 years because you did not quit. But maybe there are some here today. You're at the quitting point. You feel like giving up. God has a word for you. He says, don't do it. Don't give up. Don't give up. Give in. That thing's not on. Give in. Give in to Jesus. Give in to Jesus. I like what someone said, tough times never last, tough people do. And that's true. And maybe you're thinking, well, I've wasted so much of my life. I've blown so much time. I've blown so much energy. What's the use in starting over? What's the use in trying? Probably the most meaningless statistic in football is the halftime score. because we know that the last two quarters, things can really change and turn around. What if this is halftime for Big Spring Baptist Church? What if God says, I want you here another 100 years? He might. He might say another year. He might say another day. But he may say another 100 years. And so if it's halftime, and halftime statistics are meaningless. Now, it's been great. It's been grand to hear the remembrances, the testimonies, the faith stories, the things that God has done. But what does God want to do? He's still here. He has not left Big Spring. Maybe it's just halftime. Don't you want to be a part of the next half? Don't look at where you've been so much. Look at where you're going. And the issue is not how you started. The issue is, are you going to finish well? Are you going to finish the race? Don't give up. Because therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. And I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, and I'm going to ask you to bow your head and to close your eyes, for I want to lead us in a prayer. Father, I am so glad that you have allowed me to endure in these years in my Christian walk with you and to be persistent in my life. I'm so thankful that you've brought so many people here this morning who have endured in the Christian life and persevered in the Christian life and their walk. But Lord, it's not because of what we have done. It is because of your grace. And Father, I'm so glad that you wouldn't quit on any of us. I'm so glad that you wouldn't quit on me when times got tough. Lord, there are times when I felt like giving up, and I'm sure there are times when there are those here this morning that felt like giving up. We need to be encouraged, Father, and I pray that your word has encouraged us today, that your word has given us a new infusion of hope. We need to be renewed. Lord, recharge us today. Fill us with your Holy Spirit. Control us, Father. Fill us with your love. Jesus, help us to sense your love. Let every one of us sense your love in this room today. Let us experience you. Let us understand that the problems, the pressures, our experiences of life that are really insignificant compared to your eternal purpose. Help us all to realize, Father, that your purpose is greater than our problems. Now, with your head bowed and eyes closed, there's some of you I want to talk to, because in a crowd this size, there may be someone or some ones here today where you've never, ever invited Jesus Christ in your life, and you've come to that realization this weekend or maybe even this morning that you need Jesus. You need to be saved. Would you do that today? You can today. And inviting Jesus into your life is the starting point. And you could just say something like this: Jesus Christ, make yourself real to me. You proved your love to me when you died on the cross for my sins. Forgive me of those sins. Lord, I repent from the attitude of living the life that I've been living. And I repent and change my mind about who you are and the life that I should be living. Victory and endurance and perseverance. I give my life to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. We're going to sing a song of invitation, and as we sing that song, Brother Nolan Phillips, your pastor here, is going to be standing here at the front. If you prayed that prayer to invite Jesus into your life, you'd be the first to come. Brother Nolan will pray with you. you've got questions, He'll answer those questions. Maybe you need to rededicate your life today. Maybe there's someone here, you left Big Spring Baptist Church, but God's calling you back. You can come back. There's open arms here. Come on back. Brother Pastor will receive you as we sing.
I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back. Still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. Though none go with me, I still will follow. No turning back. No turning back.
I'm a little curious about something. I learned it a number of years ago when we began to allow folks to make this choice at the end of the worship service and pass it along to an usher. And all of a sudden I discovered that after the invitation and appeal had been given, as Brother George so well did a moment ago, for people to either let Jesus take the wheel in their lives and make them the person He wants them to be, or even to join in the fellowship of the church, or even profess what you have already decided by coming and asking to be baptized in the name of Jesus. I found out that after that invitation was over, we would say to folks, well, you know, take a little card that's in the program or in the pew in front of you, a little blue card in this case, and write on that whether if there's something you wish you had decided today. And I found out that one half the people that we baptized each year were people who made the decision after the invitation was given. So I'm not going to embarrass you to do this, but I just want to, if today God is tugging at your heart, the Spirit of God is drawing you to Jesus, and you're out here and you're really kind of out of a family right now. You're kind of like a little homeless. And the Lord is saying to you, you know, this is where you need to plug in here. You need to be a part of this. Bow your head and just close your eyes a moment. And if God's been tugging at your heart for some particular reason, I don't know, it may be something else too, and yet you have lingered, because we're not going to continue the invitation much longer here, but you said, I wish I had done something today, but I didn't. Just slip your hand up and put it right back down. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Just renew my commitment to the Lord. I want to get involved in this church. I want to follow Jesus. Just slip your hand up, put it right back down, and take a moment together here. Father, thank you so much today for the word of your truth that has spoken to our hearts. Even now as we're speaking all across this room, your Holy Spirit is tugging at our hearts to call us to you, Lord, to remind us where we're going, either to heaven with you or into an eternal place, abyss of darkness, away from you forever. We'll never be bothered like this again in that place, except to wish and pray that we had made that decision sooner. Lord, I pray your Holy Spirit will draw us unto your presence, that we may walk with Christ and be prepared for that eternal glory you have for us, in Jesus' precious name. Lord, in a few moments, as this gathered people move from this place, and we assemble around the table to break the bread that is before us, we pray, and I pray, that you would accept our thanksgiving for it today. Bless it, Lord, that we might be a blessing to others as we share fellowship and break bread together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you so much for your presence today. And I'm not sure exactly. We're going to sing another song here. We've got one more here.
Okay, guys, come on up. As we leave today, we're going to sing one more song. It was our second song we was up for the Dove Award. So. That's a crush to music.
Great job.
You want this
just
back
be
now?
Safe.
Trials dark on every hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God would lead us to that blessed promised land. But He'll guide us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. And we'll understand it better by and by.
By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home,
we will
tell the story how we overcome. We will understand it better by and by. Temptations, hidden snares often take us unawares, and our hearts are made to bleed for some thoughtless word or deed. And we wonder why the test when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home,
we will
tell the story how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, when the saints of God are gathered home,
we will
tell the story how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by and by. We will understand it better by and by.
Thank you for coming today.